Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
When George Floyd got killed, I started reading a book called The History of the United States. And that's when I saw that Christopher Columbus was just as racist as Hitler. And I didn't know. Maybe you didn't either. Here we are, season three of I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either. In season three, we connect the dots from the enslavement period to things happening today. Binge season three of I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either on the Black Effect Podcast Network, the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I didn't
know. What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live for First Class Sounds, you know who it is, DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby J. Time for another episode of Big Facts. And today we got a special, highly requested guest in the building by the name of Pimpin' Ken. Y'all give a fucking Pimpin' Ken in the building, man.
King and Big Pimpin'.
What's up, my brother? How you feeling today?
Man, ain't nothing up, man, but, you know, cash flow and airplanes.
There you go. There you go. Today, we're looking forward to talk about just a little bit of your full journey. You know what I'm saying? The beginnings of your journey. You know what I'm saying? Your transitions, some of your obstacles, and some of the, you know, dope entrepreneurship you got going on, too. So, I guess the first thing
is... management of the females. And,
right.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
That too.
But I guess we'll start with, like, your humble beginnings. So, you're from Milwaukee?
No, I was born in Chicago.
Born in Chicago.
I lived at 4759 South Federal. Everybody know that's the project.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We stayed at the Robert Taylor Homes. Then we moved out to 103rd and Jeffrey, the Wild Hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I kind of got in a lot of trouble when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
At 14, I was in the Cook County Hospital for attempted murder.
Mm.
You know, so my mom and them was like, you know, we got to get you out of here. You know, so I beat the case. You know, thank God. You know, because it really will me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But, you know what I'm saying? I beat the case anyway.
Mm.
You know, I stayed in there 4 months, I was 14 years old, one of the youngest dudes, you know, ever in Cook County. And they supposed to send me to St. Charles. That's like the detention center for youth. But they sent me to Cook County. So I'm in there with gang bangers, you know what I'm saying? Killers, you know what I'm saying? It's like just straight gutter.
Mm.
It's the worst jail you ever want to be in your life. But fortunately, you know, my daddy was a street dude, so I grew up under my pops. And my pops was a player. You know, he taught us a lot of stuff when we was kids. So I was able to talk about things, you know, with these older cats that the average dude couldn't talk about in the penitentiary, you know, or in the county jail. So that got me a lot of respect. They're like, this little dude's sharp. So that probably saved me from probably getting stabbed or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never joined the gang. You know, Brother Finney and Brother Black, one tried to get me to be a disciple, the other one tried to get me to be a vice lord. And it just, for some reason, I never wanted to be in the game.
Mm.
You know, so I never joined. But crazy, all my cousins is GDs and vice lords. So they some of the highest officials in there. So I'm pretty much well affiliated through that. So I went through that, went to Milwaukee. You know, man, was a bad kid in school.
Mm.
Ended up going to jail there. End up in reformatory school. There's a place called Wells, you know, and that's gladiator school. That's where I learned all my boxing skills. You know, I was fighting every day, you know, and then, you know, it was a couple of dudes in there. They had, you know, a little flavor, so they would be talking about the pimping and stuff like that. So I said, man, I'm going to try that pimp stuff when I get out of jail, right? You know, because, you know, I went, man, I was the youngest dude ever in the in the state of Wisconsin to catch a federal case. Man, I did the craziest stuff ever, man. I tried to cash some checks that wasn't even my name on it. So you know I was illiterate at that time, right? So I had to be the most illiterate, stupidest person in the world. So they brought the feds in. So I called my first federal case, you know, for fraud or check cashing, whatever they call that. But then, you know, it was some brothers in there that were sharp. So, you know, my first introduction to the pimping was when I was 16. So when I got out, you know, got out to the reformatory school, you know, a dude named Starchild, right? He came to me, he said, man, listen, man, you got a lot of flavor, right? He said, man, why don't you ride with me? So I would ride with him every day. Then one of my partners that I used to hustle with, you know, because back then, I don't know if y'all ever heard of a counter jumper, but that's what we used to do back there, because we ain't got no airplane, we ain't got no Pablo Escobar or none of that. We ain't got no Mexicans or nothing. We just go straight to the money. So we were jumping counters, and we were snatching money. And so one of my partners that I used to jump counters with and snatch the jewelry with, him and I, you know, he ended up getting his first prostitute. So when he got his first prostitute, he got three prostitutes. So I go to his house one day. I said, man.
It ain't funny. It ain't funny, but it is. I know it's funny.
So I'm looking at, we at a table like that. I'm seeing all these girls. I said, man, how you get all them girls, man? What's up? I said, let me have one. He said, which one you want? I said, I want the one that's light bright, you know, damn near white with the coochie candy stripe. You see what I'm saying? light bright, damn near white with the coochie candy stripe. You know, so I wanted the light-skinned chick. So he said, okay, man, you can have her. And that was the introduction to the game.
And that's when you started your management career.
That's when I started my management career. Then the guy
started. Nigga fronted you a hoe.
Nigga fronted me a hoe. I rid a bitch, right? I had a rid a bitch, right? So now here's the crazy thing. The dude that was riding me around, Star Child, He had a chick named Bridget, right? So Bridget was a prostitute too. So he was telling me how to knock girls, and I ended up taking his game and knocking his girl. You see what I'm saying? And then that's when all the older guys got to recognize me and said, he gonna be a good P, right? I didn't know that one day I'd become the pimp of the year, international pimp of the year, and I would be the biggest pimp in the country.
International pimp of the year.
Because you got to remember, yeah. You know, my mentality was that of a hustler. You see what I'm saying? My daddy was a player. He was a crap shooter. You know, he had a few girls, but he taught me how to shoot dice, you know, crooked dice and all that stuff. You know, it's just stuff you learn when you ain't got no dope or nothing like that around you. You learn immediate hustle.
Yeah, facts.
You know
facts.
What I'm saying? So, yeah, she know. So now that I'm in the game, right, y'all know I done been on at least 40 million records sold. So all that stuff I be talking on them albums, on Pimp C album
and E-40,
yeah. I'm on 50 Cent, me and 50 Cent did a mixtape. Yeah. Me and Jermaine Dupri, remember we did that Instructions back in the day with Pimp C.
Oh, yeah.
I did two albums with Lil Jon. I did five albums with Pastor Troy. So that stuff that y'all hear me talking on them albums, I was talking that as a kid. But, you know, the older guys couldn't talk faster than me. So I was study peeling them for their girls. You know, every time I used to get their girl, I used to give them a newspaper, you know, whether it was the Milwaukee Journal or the New York Times or whatever, and put the banana in the newspaper, say, man, read this. In the news, you've been peeled for your bitch. You know what I'm saying? And so they got mad at me. You know, they would get mad at me because they were like, this nigga too swift, right? And then, you right. know, I didn't know I was kicking game until Lil Jon now and all them guys started paying me to be on the album. I thought I was just being natural. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know I had $1 million vote. Vocal core. You know, since then, I've been on like 40 million records sold total. You know what I mean? Me and Lil Jon, we might did about 8 million. You know, it's just, so all that led into that. And then I became, you know, the pimp of the year. I would win all the trophies. I got up to 16 girls at one time. You know, ain't too many dudes ever did that. I'm probably,
what kind of money were they generating?
Well, I'm, you know how people go platinum off albums? I went platinum off pussy. I went platinum off pussy.
Okay, you know? Say less.
I mean, it's facts. This everybody watching that know me, you know, I truly drove the Rolls Royce.
Some of this was on America.
The Pimps Up, Hold Down.
Was it American Pimp or Pimps Up, Hold
Down? Pimps Up, Hold Down and American. And American. Both of them.
He was on both of them.
So all that parties that you see when them guys come from all over the world, that was my hometown, Milwaukee. Mm. Shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, champs.
No pun intended. Champs. You know what I'm saying? We beat Atlanta.
Yeah, but, you know, we saluted. We ain't hating.
Now, I love y'all Atlanta. Y'all know I've been here for years. I fuck with Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ATL down. You know what I'm saying? But so you know, I kinda lost my thought. What was I saying?
I'm gonna put a
kick and pimpin'.
Yeah, kick and pimpin'.
Coming to Milwaukee.
Yeah, huh?
For the
the players ball. So yeah. the Milwaukee players ball. All that's my parties. All mm-hmm. those are my parties. Niggas used to come all over the country to fuck with me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I was the biggest pimp in the country, literally. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Outside of Don Juan. Don mm-hmm. Juan, he like the godfather. He our OG. You know what I'm saying? He mm-hmm. he from my city. You know what I'm saying? We look up to him. You know, him and you know, God and, you know, and mm-hmm. C-Mo. Those was the top tier. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was the youngest, fastest dude coming up. And like I said, nobody never got to 16 bitches, you know, in our crew. I was the first one to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? I had a whole squad. You know what I mean? Just like the basketball team with the NBA, man. It was the NPA, National Pimp Association. I was the 2-3. I was the 2-3 of the P. You know what I'm saying? I was Macca Jordan, not Michael Jordan. Macca Jordan. You know what I'm saying?
Macca Jordan.
Macca Jordan.
Hey, so what do you apply, like, for, like, when you went legit with this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what rules you think you brought from that game to this game?
Well, I wrote the book, The 48 Laws of Game, and in my book I talk about bank. I say everybody's a pimp and a hoe. Either you a pimp or you a hoe. You know what I'm saying?
I just said that.
So in that book, the reason why I was so successful, you know, and it was done through CVS by way of Simon & Schuster. The reason why the book was so successful, I compare pimping to business. You know what I'm saying? Like, your hoes are your employees. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you are a manager. You know, you either got management or damagement, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? In that game, you know, you're a manager. So you're managing your product. You know, and then you got to keep your books. You know, you got to make sure that they got everything that they need, the clothes and stuff like that. So you got to be a good manager of money. You know, and you don't even know that you're conducting business, but you are conducting business. And so I wrote the book, The 48 Laws of Game.
Yeah.
So in that book, I talk about, you know, in life, you know what I'm saying? You either, you like the Big Fact Show. This show is only the Big Fact Show because you and DJ Screen put value on it. You know, like it's a Picasso painting. You see a Picasso painting, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A Picasso painting is worth millions of dollars. Well, in the pimping, we said, you know, I'm valuable. I said, you know, I got a meat on my Peter. The longer you stay, the longer you have to pay. You see what I'm saying? That's what I would tell them. Yeah, I said, if you think I'm handsome, pay my ransom. If I'm gonna take a chance, give me my money in advance.
Hey, where these shirts at, man? I want some shirts with all that shit on it.
That's all in the book, man. Okay. You know, I talk about the book, you know, and it's not, it's just, like I say, you know, I'm the 2-hour V Petty Special Salt Lettuce Pickles Onion on the Sesame Seed Bun. If you ever went to McDonald's, that's the Big Mac. You see what I'm saying? It's the Big Mac. So you always got to put value on yourself. So when you take that value and you apply it to real life, that's what this show is. This show is value. There's a lot of people talking stuff, but how many people getting paid? How many people getting endorsed by Ciroc? You know, that's pimping. You know, like when I first started, I started off as a hoe with Simon & Schuster. They was pimping me.
Who?
Simon & Schuster, the publishing company. So they gave me a deal. Now listen. They gave me a deal, right?
Right.
Now,
the old screen. They going out like a low
bar. Right.
Let me break it down. So the first deal I got, they said that Ken, we're gonna give you 15% on the hardcover, right? But then it goes in and say, but it reversed to 5% on the paperback. So me not understanding the word revert, it was that one verb got me pimped. So when I go and I'm looking for my royalties, right, they telling me, like, man, you ain't got no royalties. I'm like, what you mean? You know, I'm like, I'm ready to go off. I'm like, man, I sold millions and millions of dollars worth of books. I said, where's my money? So me being who I am, you understand me, I understood that I was being pimped. So now I had to figure out, how do I become the pimp in this situation? So at that time, it was the advent of audiobooks, excuse me. So the audiobooks was just coming out. So what I did was I said, okay, you know, I'm going to get these people to give me the audiobook. So I offered them $50,000. They accepted. So we went into the meeting, you know, and we doing our transaction and so on and so forth. You know, I went on the internet and I copy and paste me a contract. I put a fake lawyer name on there. You know what I'm saying? Me, a Jewish name. You know what I'm saying? Me, to make it seem Lindbergh. You know, put Mr. Lindbergh name on there. And all the attorneys, we were sitting at a table like this. And I put the contract right here. And after I put the contract right there, I had the check. I endorsed the check, but I never endorsed it. I act like I was endorsed it. I flipped the check, pushed the check over there. I told my guy, he's the bathroom. I said, let me sign the contract. They signed the contract, got up, left the scene. They called me back. My publisher called me, hey, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? You owe us $50,000. I said, did you read the contract? I said, I put in the contract, I said that the future royalties of the audiobook would come from the royalties of the book, Pepology. So I did the same thing they did. I played with language. You know what I'm saying? I went and I had to be a lawyer.
Oh, they fucked up.
No. Go to audiobook.com. Go to audiobook.com and see who the owner is. Mm-hmm. Not Simon Schuster, Kid Ivey. Mm-hmm. I own that right. I own the right, 100% rights to the audio. Now, I could have went in there with a gun, but, you know, pimps don't, you know, pimp is no contact sport. So they pimped on me, so I had to get my pimping in. So I pimped on them back. So now, you know what I'm saying? I'm winning. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not committing any violence. I'm not doing anything like that. And then another thing, like, you know, my books, you know what I mean? I pimp my books, my DVDs. You know, I don't know if y'all ever seen my movie, Pepology. I said, you know, I hold up one of my DVDs. I said, this bitch don't argue with me. We don't fight. We don't dispute. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no another pimp gonna take her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is my hope, my DVD. You know what I mean? I just flipped the script. You know what I mean?
I gotta convince her to do shit. She gonna do what she does.
You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. I took all of the negativity and I turned into positivity. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So now, you know, we have several businesses. We into real estate. You know, I have the hip hop fraternity. You know, I have my own publishing company. I'm a literary agent. I just signed Boosie to a six-figure deal. Just signed Ice-T to a six-figure deal. Just signed Corey Wise to a six-figure deal. Mm. Now I'm dealing with the same company that initially pimped me. Now we pimping again.
They have to negotiate with you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm literally work with them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I negotiate contracts because I had experience myself. I can negotiate Boosie the best deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if y'all know, y'all watch Instagram, I'm over Boosie House all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, my friend and I, we work with local Choice Liquor, Steve and I, you know, and we do liquor deals as well. You know, we help artists get deals with the liquor. So, you know, we teach them how not to get pimped. So at the hip hop fraternity, I tell people all the time, all my artists, you know, I give a speech. I say, listen, man, if you give me $100 bill and you want me to sign you, and that's 100% of your intellectual property, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you 15 cents back. But I'm going to keep the 85. I'm going to give you $85, right? So if you sell 1 million copies, you get $150,000, and I'm going to get $850,000. That's what the record labels is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's basically what's happening. So what I'm telling them is, like, if I come to you with the same scenario, if I say, hey, go $1,000, for a Rolls Royce costs what? I know you got several of them. $400,000.
$500,000.
Okay, yeah. The $500,000, right? So that's $490,000, right? $499,000. So if you gave me your Rolls Royce for $1,000, that's worse than, I mean, that's better than the record deal. Because the record deal, you get $850. That's double. Yeah.
Hey, so, but when we talk about that on Big Facts, if you come from an element where you ain't got shit, and if you don't take that fucked up deal, you might end up dead or in jail. How do you weigh them to?
Then you're a good hoe.
Okay.
Oh, you know, you're getting pimped.
Okay.
The record labels are pimps and mm-hmm. they banks. They're basically giving you a loan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They robbing you. Now, you know, the reason why I know this because I'm in the game, so right. I know game, right. Good game, recognized game. So I understand mm-hmm. when they run a game. So when they talking to me, it's got to make sense. Like I said, to give take 100% of something that I created with Banks. He's the producer, you the engineer, I'm the artist, and then we go and we give it to Def Jam or we give it to Universal for a little bit of nothing. What happens?
But what I'm saying is, if you have to make the decision between stay in the element. They say, hold on, you might get a better deal or a better situation.
You had to learn this. He's saying you.
Myself. Right. So I could vouch for that.
Right.
I'm talking about stand up. I'm talking about.
Introduce yourself, my bad, bro, so they'll know. So
HHF Chain.
Okay. Gotcha.
Hip hop fraternity worldwide, it's going to be the label.
There you go.
You're pushing the organization, I'm pushing the label.
There you go.
Thank God. But that, what I was saying real quick, I could really vouch for that because the way he spoke to me and gave me knowledge, you can't sign me. How the fuck you going to sign Nike? We could joint venture. We could make something shape. Mm. But where I'm at in my mentality, I don't need that money. I don't need that right money. That right now money. Mm. It's really about the legacy.
But I guess what I'm saying is to the people watching, if they in a fucked up situation and we've all been in or known people in, I'm back talking about fucked up. Okay. Like you point. One day away back from the feds coming, or you. And this fucked up contract is fucked up too.
Hey, let me tell you something.
What do they do? Give them some game.
Okay, I'm gonna give y'all some game. If y'all listening out there, if you're in a fucked up situation and you need some money and you feel that somebody come to you with a record deal, do not sign it. I'm gonna tell you why. Because you're gonna be in a more fucked up situation. I can give you a list, a litany of artists who y'all seen on YouTube said, hey man, my record label won't let me do this. My record label won't do me that. This artist is suing this art, this record label. You know, and people are really in some fucked up situation.
You ain't getting what he's saying. Right. He's saying,
that
you just raw talent. You ain't, nigga, your mama ain't got no money. You can't even eat. You can't eat. You can't do shit.
Fed time or 6 feet under or contract?
Well, I say,
that's what's happening with a lot of our young ones.
But what I say is come to the hip hop fraternity. You know what I'm saying, man? What we're going to do is we're going
to
educate you.
I don't even
you.
Have a way to get to you. I don't even know no specific
end. I'm in
no pride. I stay
remember
in
that project you said you was in? That's where they at. They 14 years old.
He's saying a nigga, ignorant nigga who ain't got nothing going on, nothing, but all he know is the streets, but he got talent. You know what I'm saying? But somebody done, Def Jam done spotted him.
That's what I'm trying
from
to
from his Instagram.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Brother Banks. At the hip-hop fraternity, we let them perform for free. We feed them.
But how do I get
so they watch it? But I'm saying if they watching this,
all they got to do, all they have to do.
No, if they watching this in Detroit, Michigan, right. Where's the hip hop fraternity base?
They can log in. They can log in on hiphopfraternity.com.
Okay, all right. So that's definitely.
What about the niggas who don't even know how to do that?
They
ain't got no manager.
That's our fault. That's who watch Big Facts. That's all we say.
Some niggas don't even know how to communicate.
Hey, well, you know, in my perspective, man, you know, I'm 100% proponent of independence. You know, I believe in autonomy. Mm. So it's hard for me to tell somebody to sell their soul.
There you go.
But if they in a messed up situation, you know, one of the things they can do is what some of the brothers do at our facility, you can go get a job. You know what I mean? You can work temporarily and you can just keep on whatever you do, just don't give up. Whatever the mind believe and can see, the mind could achieve. A winner never quit and a quitter never win.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And you got to be humble, because if you ain't humble, you'll crumble. And don't be an egomaniac. You know what I'm saying? Don't be an egomaniac. Your worst.
Hey, humble your crumble.
Hey, your worst, crumble now.
Hey, tell them, DJ Screen, their worst amigo is their ego. True. That's your worst amigo, your ego.
True.
Most people fail because they don't understand that it takes humility to win. You know, when you look at me on all them albums, you know, with all these guys, you know, I done been to Two Short House. I done been everybody mansion. You know, I've been around these people, man, and I'm strictly from the hood. You know, I'm the dude, the last dude they might want to trust. You know what I'm saying? But yet, I'm in their crib. You know what I'm saying? I'm in their business. I met their wives. I met their kids because of my humility. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm one of the fastest dudes in the game, and you know what I mean? I can knock women like that. You know, I can. You know, I'm cold with it. You know what I mean? But I'm still humble because I know if you ain't humble, you'll crumble. You know what I mean? And you have to be focus. You know what I'm saying? If you change your mentality, you can change your reality. If you change your attitude, you can change your aptitude. And that's what it's all about. You know, looking at life differently and being persistent, because persistence wears down resistance. You know, just because you messed up today, I mean, let me tell you something. The best thing about life, young man, if you're out there, you know, hey, the things that you go through is what you grow through. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have a major fall through before you have a major breakthrough. So it's good to have adversity. If you talk to anybody successful, including Bank and DJ Screen and Mama here, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk to anyone, I guarantee they're going to tell you that they have more failures than they had success with this show. But it was the failures that they had, it was the problems that they encountered that allowed them to be to the point where they at right now. That's what if you messed up, that's a good thing. That means that God got you.
Right.
Because God going to hurt you before he help you. And I know a lot of people don't understand that. But, you know, if you talk to any person that's truly spiritual, they'll tell you that you got to go through something. Whenever you know, what they say that the rainbow, the storm come before the rainbow. Warning come before destruction. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so you need, man, I love when they'll tell you, I love when all hell break out. I said, oh, we here now.
Yes.
But I said, the juice is finna flow. We finna pop it now. We finna make this thing happen. That's what you need. Mm-hmm. You need to be in your worst case scenario. And from your worst case scenario, you'll get your best scenery. I promise you.
That's big.
Yeah, it's good game.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me ask you this, just kind of to take it back, like, to the your management days. So,
in your...
So, goddamn, so, in your opinion, do... What the fuck? Y'all made me forget my goddamn.
Yeah, you got it fucked right. up,
hey, no, but at least you had a choice to be Rolls Royce, you know? Hey, you didn't choose down, you chose up, baby.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So as far as, like, relationships and things like that go, do you think that hoes or whores or working girls are considered low-value women and not an asset to a relationship?
Well,
because of their perceived mileage and, you know, all the other stuff that they have going on associated with their job.
Well, you know, in the game, we say, you know, don't nobody like a pimp but a hoe. Don't nobody like a hoe but a pimp. You see what I'm saying? So basically, it's a community, right?
Yeah.
And these people, you know what I'm saying? They relative to each other. But at the same time, you know, what I've learned in my 40-year career, that hoes are some of the most cleanest, the most, you know, they the most sharpest women on the planet.
You said cleanest?
You know, they very clean.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I mean, they got to use protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got women. I'm telling you, man, you just...
Only the renegades don't use protection, right?
Well, yeah, because they ain't got no management. They got damagement. You see what I'm saying? So, I'm killing her over there.
Yeah. Like, oh, please. Yeah, she's dead. She died like 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is, in answer to your question, is that, you know, and every hoe is a little girl, right? It's an innocent child. You know what I'm saying? It's an innocent child. You know, before she was a hoe, she was somebody's daughter, right? So, you know what I mean? What happened is, well, most of these women, they get raped. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they get violated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
And they lose a value. You know what I mean? If you just imagine you being a beautiful young lady and somebody violates you, the first thing you say, I would never have my virginity taken from the guy that I love. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd never be able to have that pick and fist. So she feel violated, and they begin to
to all, you know, kind of go against men. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of women, you know what I'm saying? If you ever, I don't know if you ever been with a prostitute, you know what I mean? I didn't have them, but I never been with one. But if you ever with a prostitute, she could be the most ruthless person on the world, on earth. You know what I'm saying? She treat tricks really bad. You know, they talk dirty to them, you know, because a lot of that is built in frustration. Mm. So these women, you know what I'm saying? They in a situation where they've been violated and, you know, they don't feel no worth. Mm. And then a lot of them, you know what I'm saying? They grew up without fathers. So they look for older men, mm-hmm. for father
for
figures,
guidance.
For guidance. And a lot of these guys, you know, they sharp and they intelligent and they know that they can, you know, it's just like any other, you know, animal that a hunter.
They pick up on
they
that.
They find the prey
on that deficiency and that need. Up, yeah.
They prey on these women and they prey on these women. And then you got women, you know, that been in the game so long, they become pros and not hoes. What I mean by that, they start choosing pimps and they embrace that lifestyle. So they begin to work in that lifestyle, you know, cause like 80% of the women that I dealt with, I didn't turn out. You know what I mean? They just, they knew I was handsome. I said, if you think I'm handsome, pay my ransom. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? So I made them pay in like they weigh in, you know what I'm saying? So that was a different lifestyle. You know what I mean? And that's how a lot of the women come in the game, but a lot of people bring them in the game on something else. And then they end up, you know, liking it, and they end up liking the fast money, just like a drug dealer.
You said 80% of your hoes chose up.
Yeah, they chose up. They let their choice be Rolls Royce, baby. That can't happen, man. Yeah, so I used to get chose with my mom clothes.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got chose with my mom clothes. I mean, no, but what I'm saying is actual factual. Puffy even know. Puffy know me. Me and Puffy then party together. Puffy then flew me into Atlanta, you know, hooked me up in big old suites and everything. You know, me and Puffy, I've been to Jester's in New York. You know what I mean? We, you know, I've been, you know, all these guys, man, they've been knowing about us for years. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to go to the same events that they went, wear the same minks, the same jewelry, you know, drive the same Rolls Royces and all of that. You see what I'm saying? Way back then. So they didn't know what we do. A lot of people say, are y'all entertainers? And we'd be like, nah, man, we pimps. They say, pimps? What is that? You know? So, you know, they didn't understand what it was. But then, you know, then Snoop Dogg and all them, they started loving the game. And 50 Cent, all of them, they started like, okay, man, we're going to bring these brothers in. And then that's when, you know, him and Trafficking came in. So I got to tell about the bad side.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. So what's the,
So the downside of pimping is that, you know, at one time, it was like a community thing. You know what I mean? They used to let us do our thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, the police see you and a woman arguing. They say, you and your girlfriend go home. They didn't even know that they was prostitutes. It was an underworld. You understand me? It was like a secret society. Mm-hmm. But once Snoop Dogg and all them and all of us got to talking about pimping, we started doing all these movies and all these different shows.
Kind
of
like Frank Lucas with the hat at the boxing match.
That's exactly. Pimps Up, Hold Down was the... you know, and then, you know, you look at it, too. Some of it is systemic racism. Some of it was engineered, too. Because, you know, I mean, you got to remember the people who was promoting this were people who own these major record companies. They were the ones promoting the pimp video. They were the ones telling artists to talk about pimping in their album. Mm. And then right after that, you had the human trafficking laws. You know, then human trafficking laws, you know, now if a guy is caught, you know, interacting with a prostitute on some pimping, you know, he can get anywhere from 20 years to life. That wasn't like that. It used to be a slap on the hand. So what they did was they manufactured this thing. It's like, if you look at Scarface, right? Before you had the new sentencing law, before you had, the crack laws, before you had the gun laws, before you had any of these laws, you had what? New Jack City. Not Scarface in New Jack City. So Scarface made all of us want to be hustlers, made us want to, you know, be like, you know, the dude in Scarface, you know, like Scarface. And then Nito Brown, he come in and he introduced the world to snitching. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? So he like, it ain't, all right, the real brother, you know what I'm saying? So,
it been happening inside the mobs and shit, but to the
general public,
to the culture, to the black people. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, the nigga Nino did that shit and got out and all that shit.
But that's what they call it now. They call get down. Who get down first? You know, who gonna snitch on who first? You know, you got all these indictments, but then, you know, you look at the sentencing law, then you go look at CCA, Correctional Corporation of America. Correctional Corporation of America is a legally chartered organization. It's a legal business that is on New York Stock Exchange, where, you know, it's the privatizing of prison. You know, and then they use the 13th Amendment, which allows them to incarcerate people and enslave them simultaneously, because 13th Amendment says slavery is abolished except for one duly commits a crime. So when you commit a crime, then you're subjected to slavery. And I think it was named Ava DuVernay. She did a movie called 13th. It's on Netflix. Believe me, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just go check it out. So, you know what I'm saying? So those were the things that happened. The same thing happened to the drug law and with the dope gang, it happened with the pimp gang. They glorified it. They made it Hollywood. Then they came in, they swarmed down. They glorified pimp and made it Hollywood. Then they swarmed down on it. And they needed new prisoners for these institutions. So they said, okay, we're going to catch them by the blind side. They know how to sell drugs now. They ain't riding around on 28s no more. You know, everybody, you know, you might, you know, I mean, DJ Screen could be one of the biggest drug dealers. I mean, that's how drug dealers is now. They're very discreet. You don't know who's hustling no more. So, so they couldn't really just catch brothers like they would. They weren't slipping no more. Well, pimping used to be out there. You know, everybody used to be out there. Now dudes go up underground because they made them go underground. Same thing they made the drug gang. So, you know what I'm saying? That's what I tell young people, man. You know, if you mess with a woman and you're driving her to the hotel, that's called human trafficking. If you take a woman to a strip club and you're dropping off and you're living off the earnings of her money, that's human trafficking. If you get a girl from me, if I'm a pimp and you get a girl from me, even though she came through the game for you, that's human trafficking. All this carry life. So it's not a good life. So, you know what I mean? If you're thinking about pimping or if you're thinking about getting in the game, all I can tell you is that you're going to do life in prison.
So is that a way of maybe saying, well, we know that the culture of it and whatever is in your core is still there pimping, right? But is that a way of maybe saying that pimping or the pimping that you used to is dead?
Well, you know, pimping ain't never dead because this is pimping. You know what I'm saying? This is literally pimping.
Now, you talking about a form of a pimping.
You talking about the pimping you used to.
I can tell you this, pimping ain't going to never die. Right. It's going to multiply. Right. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I tell you, because as long as a man got a penis, you know what I'm saying? Like corn and cotton, a woman going to sell pussy. Just point blank. You know what I'm saying? You got women today.
But let me ask you this, since
we're talking about the whole like selling pussy thing or whatever. So in your opinion, again, do you think that women that are in relationships with men that demand financial support or that basically tell the niggas like, in order to fuck with me, you got to do certain things or you got to do X, Y, Z. Do you think that?
Yeah, they hoes. Yeah, they hoes.
They're essentially selling pussy.
They hoes.
Okay.
Because, you know, let's
break this part down.
No disrespect to the mother, right? The first thing my mother used, and I love my mom to death, she's always telling you need to get you a good man. I got four sisters. Get you a good man. Get you a man with a good job. Get you a doctor. Get you a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Get somebody that's going to take care of you. That's what my mama telling them, right? You know what I'm saying? Then my sister, now that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody that's going to pay them. They're looking for somebody that's going to pay their bills. And then you get out, and then you look at these women who, you know, who mother taught them the same thing, and then you go to Lenox Mall and you say, ah, mommy, you fired. She ain't no stripper. She don't work in no strip club or nothing. And she say, you gonna pay my bills? I mean, you got something for me? And half of them do it for a Happy Meal. Take me to McDonald's. And they lay down with a dude. You see what I'm saying? And that's, to me, is a form of prostitution. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? The difference between a hoe and a hooker is that a hoe get paid. You know what I'm saying? And a hooker get played. You know what I'm saying? She's getting played. You know what I'm saying? And she's subjecting herself to all kind of diseases, all type of, you know, I mean, she can get pregnant by a dude that she might never see again. She got to raise that child on her own. And these girls, you know, but they would never say they prostitutes. And then you look at, you know, you look at the videos today, Nicki Minaj and all of them, Cardi B.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that.
They basically, you know what I'm saying, they do the same thing that strippers do. So what they do is they influence young girls. Mm-hmm. And then young girls walk around here with their pants all up their butt and everything like that, and they don't think that an older guy ain't going to offer them something. You know, but if somebody sees somebody looking like a hoe, first they're going to say, hey, can I take you out to eat? Hey, can I buy you this? Can I buy you that? And she might do it innocently, not knowing at that point. Once she have that relationship, that sex relationship, she become a prostitute.
She signed a contract. Point,
she signed a contract to be a hoe. And so it's a lot of hoes out here and don't even know they hoes.
Shit.
She's like, I'm about to ready to get that. That applied to a lot of y'all, don't it? I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry, but she asked the question. A lady asked the question. All I did was answer.
We got to break this down. We got to get to the bottom of it.
What's the name here? OnlyFans,
huh? And that's a form of pimping, you know.
Can
now
you get arrested for that.
Yeah. Well, see.
Like if I had a warehouse full of bitches doing OnlyFans, is that human trafficking?
Not if you go.
In no, that would be a media company, right?
No. But how you be anything is, you know what I'm saying? You know, basically you understand, you read the laws, and once you read the laws, you understand what you're up against, then you know what you can and what you cannot do. You know, one thing I tell you is don't live off the earnings of a prostitute. That'll get you in jail. Don't take an underage girl and put her in the streets. That'll put you in jail. Do not force or persuade a woman to do anything. That'll put you in jail. You know, but if you and a woman, a bunch of women get together and you got a contract with them, they independent contractors, and y'all doing only fans, and they sign a disclosure, that's legal pimping.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Just like if you go to Vegas,
you got it, right?
Hey, now here it is. If you go to Vegas, you open up a whorehouse, right? You go to Vegas, open up a whorehouse. That's legal. You know, prostitution is legal in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
or a bunny ranch. That's like what the Caucasians do.
Yeah, that's what the bunny ranch was.
You doing Atlanta,
huh?
So if you was in Atlanta right now, what could you do?
Yeah.
If that's what you, if that was your,
stay
aim.
Safe. Stay safe.
Yes.
Because they got task forces out here that's waiting for somebody to slip. And you know, only thing I try to tell young guys is like, man, listen, look at me, man. I come from the game. Now look at me. I'm still having fun. You know what I mean? I'm having money. I'm doing everything. You know, and I just switched my game. All I'm saying is go from the ghetto street to the executive street, from the ghetto blocks to the Wall Street stock, from the sewer to the entrepreneur. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We got to quit being consumers and learn how to produce. Mm. You see what I'm saying? I mean, just like you pimp a prostitute, you can pimp a cell phone, you can pimp a show. You know what I'm saying? You can pimp Big Facts, you can pimp this, you can actually eat, you can get a check. You know what I mean? They can sock it to your pocket like a rocket just from Big Facts. You know what I mean? Just kicking Big Facts. Now, if that ain't no pimping, who come up with something called Big Facts and get paid for it and got big time sponsors and get paid? You ain't got to worry about your kids going to college. Big That's fact. Pimping. Big facts. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So what I want to show these young people is how to take that negativity and turn it to a positive. I'm the best example, right? You know, former gangster, you know what I mean? Former pimp, you know what I mean? Former street nigga, like the words y'all want to use, you know what I'm saying? Respected in all, you know that. I respect that where I go. You know what I'm saying? I go to the Crips, the Bloods, the GDs, anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I go in Compton, I go in South Decatur, North Decatur, wherever Decatur. You know, I go on the West Bank, West Side, and I'm good. With no security. Only security I got is my Social Security card. I promise you. I don't need no security. So what I'm saying is that, you know, you still could be you. You just got to be legit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to turn them, like in my book, I say you got to turn them whole hands into dividends. You know what I'm saying? You got to invest your money. You got to become an investor. And that's how you accumulate wealth. You see what I'm saying? But I want to talk about the hip hop.
Yeah, no, we about to get to that. I promise. ASAP. What? How I know you're familiar. Have you ever checked out Kevin Samuels?
The
high value man.
Talk about the value, the women and stuff like that.
Do you feel like he kicking pimping or just his opinions, or what do you
or
think?
Do you
what
even do you agree with him at all?
Yeah. What do you think he's doing?
Let me tell you something, man. You know.
Because he'd say certain stuff like if a woman a certain age, she's of less value. A woman with a child is less value. A woman who doesn't have a certain amount of money shouldn't go for a person with more money. You know, his philosophies.
Well, you know, pimping and square life is like as far as the moon from the sun, you know.
So what
we would call that, mispimping. And mispimping ain't no pimping at all.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of things, see, you got to remember with the pimp, it's all about the purse first, ass last. Mm. See what I'm saying? So a pimp, you know what I'm saying? He wants you to sock it to his pocket.
And
like
for clarity, he's not claiming to be a pimp. He just, this is what I, well, he kind of is pimping his platform because a lot of motherfuckers watch that shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But then they unearthed something saying that he was like the other way.
They started attacking him.
No, but they had pictures of him like at different things. He had like a perm and some other.
He was a Kappa. You know, well, he was a Kappa in college. So he had the pretty.
I'm just saying that he had some. No, but they were saying I saw it online somewhere that they were saying that he was.
He definitely got attacked from.
That's why he.
He definitely got attacked from a lot of different angles.
Capitalizing off of his current point of view now.
Hey, Kevin Samuels.
Okay, well, that's a clear question.
That, but back to.
Yeah.
No, he's not a pimp.
He's not a pimp. Okay.
Hey, man.
Is he kicking any pimp in?
The only way you can be a pimp, you got to have a real hoe.
Gotcha.
I'm going to be frankly with you.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I would respect you. Like, if you came to the track, that's like what y'all would call metropolitan. You know what I'm saying? If you come to the track, the first thing we say, man, if you ain't going to set one, don't sweat one. But that means if you ain't got a hoe, don't come to the table. You know what I'm saying, man? Because if you ain't on the table, you're on the menu. You know what I'm saying, man? You know what I mean? So, you know, we're going to eat off of you. You see what I'm saying? You're a trick. You know what I mean? Either you got to pee on your forehead or a T. You know what I'm saying, man? And that's how we look at it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's no
in between.
It's no in between.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, man? So a pimp, live by different rules. You know what I mean? You know, the woman, they have to hold their head down. You know what I mean? She can't speak to another pimp. You know what I'm saying? She can't be out there out of pocket. You know what I mean? It's a lot of things, a lot of rules and regulations that come with the game that a square, it would blow his mind. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't even know what to do if he was in that game. You know what I mean? That game, it's a serious game. Just like how some people talk about the D game, the P game is really serious. I mean, it's like 100. You know, you got to really have a lot of, know the rules and regulations. Otherwise, you know, the other P's, you know what I'm saying, they're going to all team up on you. They're going to knock your bitches. And they're going to serve you the news and blow your fuse and put your bitch up under some new rules.
Hey, you think the internet was a gift or a curse?
Huh?
You think the internet was a gift or a curse?
Well, for a lot of pimps, it was a curse, because you got to remember, you know, back then in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, you know, if a woman was a prostitute, she was in the streets, right? So therefore, if she going to be on the streets, she had to have protection, right? Mm-hmm. So she had to have a pimp. So now, if you take your woman to the internet and you got her at the Holiday Inn and she's doing, say, back pages or something like that, right? If she's on back pages, then, you know, and she's got her own room and she's taking phone calls, then you're insignificant now. Mm. So what she could do, she could just go to
the Days Inn. She eliminated the middleman, basically.
She goes to the Days Inn and she could work. Now, did y'all know? I'm going to ask y'all this question. Did y'all know that 90% of women that's on the internet that's prostituting are independent, have no pimps whatsoever?
Yeah. I don't understand why they wouldn't be.
What you mean, like your back page and...
OnlyFans
and all, yeah. Well, a lot of them don't have.
They don't have no pimp. So go back 20 years ago, you couldn't even be on the streets unless you had a pimp. Or you could, like she said, you're a renegade. See what I'm saying? That's what she said, the renegade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they was considered renegade. So other hoes would beat them up because they're like, you messing up our money. And pimps would sweat them, and some pimps would put them what we call
under. They were like mutts, kind of.
Yeah, like, or they get put under pimp arrest.
Yeah. Talk to
them. Yeah, pimp arrest is when a pimp see you out there, you ain't got no instructions or you ain't got no pee, and he'll sweat you, he'll make it hard for you to get money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so he always be in your business, you know what I mean? So you can't never get no money. But if you got if she was with Big Bank, then they'd be like, yeah, man, that's Big Bank, girl, don't mess with her. You know what
so
I'm saying?
So it's better for them to be under management.
Well, that's how they did it back then, you know what I mean? So now what I'm saying is that, you know, how they're accusing all these guys for being womanizers and being pimps and taking advantage of women, that narrative has been destroyed, because they realize that these women have psychological issues irrespective to a pimp. That the pimp could be used at some point as a scapegoat to make it look like I'm not crazy. He's making me do it. You know what I mean? But she's going to do it anyway. With or without the pimp. And if you think I'm lying, you look at the 90% that I'm talking about that's hoeing on their own. Right. See what I'm saying? But it was a good trick by the United States government to say that these guys were taking advantage of them through human trafficking, because they was able to fill their prisons back up. Because y'all know the prison system. Y'all heard about mass incarceration, right? You know that America is 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's incarceration. Black folks only comprise 13% of the population. You know what I'm saying? We are north of about 40 million. But 6% of us, meaning us, the younger generation, you know, y'all, the younger generation, is eligible convicts, people who can go to prison. So out of 6% versus the dominant society, which puts them at, 70%, you know what I'm saying? Out of that 70%, wow. you got 51% of African Americans in prison, but only 6% is eligible. That's not including your grandmama, your uncle, you know, the old folks and all that. But it's only, we a small proportion of the population, but we the largest proportion of the penitentiary. In 1978, it was 240,000 people incarcerated. 240,000. Today is 2.5 million people incarcerated. 51% of them are black. Mm.
They gave
us New Jack City. They gave us Colors. They gave us Scarface. They gave us Pimps Up, Hoes Down, American Pimp. And what it did, it sent us straight to the penitentiary. It criminalized us. You know, because in this society, you got three choices. You're going to have gainful employment, your own business, or you're going to get welfare, which, you know, they cut that out, or you're going to be a criminal. So our entire community has been criminalized, and what we're doing at the hip-hop fraternity, we're trying to show them brothers a better way and a brighter day, just like Free to Lay. Hold on, baby. You ain't got to go that way, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got better tools for you. You know, you anytime you go in the studio, you make music, you know, you're creating value. You know, we teach them about that value. We teach them how to open up businesses. You know, I do credit repair, too. You know, so the people that come there, you know, my son, I have him to fix their credit.
Right.
You know, we fix their credit. We raise their credit score. You know, we delete all of the negative inquiries and all that stuff off of their credit, and we clean them up. And then we take them over to Navy Federal. We show them how to get $80 to $250,000. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so these are the things that you was talking about, them guys that I can help them. Mm. You know, one guy, we helped him get $250,000. What he did, he went to Milwaukee, he bought like 15 houses, you know, because they cheap over there, $5,000 a piece. Mm. He fixed them up. Then he brought his friends over to us, and all 15 of those houses he sold because we fixed all 15 of those people's houses credit. Mm. And he made a big bankroll. He made thousands of dollars, and he paid the loan off. Now I think they probably giving him about $1 million loan. So that's what we do. We teach them game on a whole nother level. Mm. You know, we teach them how to pimp the system. You know what I mean? You ain't got to be out there robbing. You know what I mean?
So it ain't just for musicians, the hip hop fraternity.
No, for clarity
for everybody.
We got classes on psychology. You know, we got classes on business. We teach them everything because these are, you know, our people are suffering from lack of knowledge. It's a whole bunch of things that are messed up with us. Because, like, if you live in the hood and he live in the hood, you got to be suffering from a post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. If they're doing it in Vietnam, if somebody's shooting and you duck it all and you riding and you scared, that same effect that happened to those soldiers is happening to us. We got our children out here at 8, 9 years old witnessing murder. Mm-hmm. What you think is happening to them? So what we got to do, we got to re-engineer them, you know, to some positivity. We got to let them see people like myself who've been through what they've been through, who can show them that it's a better way and a brighter day. Because until they find that out, like you know, Hip Hop Fraternity, and you know, we have our own social media. It's called thehiphopfraternity.com. So if you go to there, we got our own IG. We got our own Facebook. See what I'm saying? You know, we got Ice-T on the board. You know, we got Mystico on our board. We got Maybach Music, Slab. MMG on our music. Boosie is affiliate.
Yeah, that's my boy.
You know, Outkast. I mean, not Outkast. Goody Mob, Taylor. These are all people that endorses our movement and represent us.
For real, where's Taylor been?
We just did a show
is he still doing music?
Yeah. We just did a show about
4 months
ago. It's on my Instagram.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Mm. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fraternity got your son. What movie is your son on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. One of my sons, if y'all watched the movie All American, y'all ever seen that?
Okay, football.
But the number 14, the light skinned dude, that's my son.
Oh, I didn't know
so,
that.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, all my kids, my daughter got a master's degree. I sent them all to college, even though I was a street dude. That's why I'm trying to tell you, man, it works. You can change your life. You know, I'm a street dude, you know what I mean? You know, I've been shot. You know what I'm saying? It went down with me. But I was still able to move my kids out to the suburbs. You know, my son, even Supreme, you know what I'm saying? He didn't been to school. You know, all of them. You know what I'm saying? My other son, he went to the Academy of New York in film company out there in California. Now he done been in several movies. He done did commercial for Nike, the NBA, everything. He's one of the stars on that show we talking about, you know, All-American. You know, he's number 14. He's the quarterback, season three. You know, so, you know, he done been in the movie called Play the Flute. You know, a whole bunch. He just did a whole thing. What's that 911 with Angela Bassett? What's that called?
Oh, yeah, the TV show.
My son on there, too. So, you know what I mean? So I'm not just teaching these kids, but I'm also, you know, charity started at home, and then it spreads abroad. You know, this is my godson, Chaney. You know what I'm saying? He came to me looking for a deal. You know what I told him? Nigga, I ain't giving you nothing. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no deal for you. What I got for you is I got a record label. I said, you finna be the boss. I said, I want you to be a boss. I said, I want you to own your own stuff. I said, I want to own your, I don't want to give you no deal to take a percentage out of your intellectual property. So now he think like a boss. He got his own record label. You know, he doing his own thing. He producing and putting his own stuff out. You know, Dutch, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she's the VP. You know, she came to us as an artist. I said, you bigger than an artist. You know, I said, everybody probably think that hip hop fraternity is all about men. I said, I want you to be the vice president. We want to push women out forward. I got six daughters. I push them. You know, I encourage my daughters. I'm encourage her the same way. Cause she's 26 years old. She built the whole website. She built our whole social media. Yes.
Most of us that came in wasn't even coming in thinking like that, thinking as bosses. Like, you're dealing with hip hop fraternities and brotherhood. So whatever I want to do, I have a backing from all my brothers and sisters, and they want to see you push through. And they're going to teach you that boss mentality. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, beat makers, it's for everybody. Our site is up to 730 people right now. They're all over the United States and Europe. We have people from Canada, all over. I mean, I even saw Germany. We have a program called the Hip Hop Facts, so we try to give back, right? We want to give them knowledge, let them know exactly how the deals work, how publishing works, how music distribution goes, how EPKs, what is an EPK? You know, why do you need one? You know, just basic stuff that people should know when using having power to negotiate themselves in a room. So for example, if they get a deal and they come to a record label, they have more negotiating power because now they're educated on EPKs. They have their music on platforms. They have streams in ASCAP and BMI records where people can go and look them up and say, okay, you're serious about what you're doing. You've been out for a year and you have this many views, you know?
Right.
Education, the website is popping, is growing every day.
And another thing, man, like brothers like yourself, DJ Scream, we need y'all to actually participate because you still be big facts. So we got people, you know, from all different walks of life, different organizations that come. And what we do, we're a think tank. We're an African-American think tank. Mm-hmm. So basically what that means is that we put our resources together and, you know, you give us information about the podcast and you teach the young kids about that so you could produce the next DJ Screen coming up in the podcast industry or big banks, you know, the next big bank. And that's what we all about, you know. And you know, it don't make a difference who you is or what you is. You still remain. We all stay bosses. Don't nobody lose their identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we create a circle of group economics and group politics. So therefore, when you create group economics, that means when you create the 360, the money circulate within the community. You know, the average money bounce, as Dr. Anderson liked to say, the average money bounce, you know, in any other community, 8 to 10 times. And our community only bounced twice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it don't even bounce once. You know, so we're spending 98% of our wealth with other entities. You know what I'm saying? We are consumers. We're not producers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a bad thing. And not only that, is that when you go out to Alpharetta, you go into a European community and you see them living lavish, first thing he says, how did they get all that? Well, how they got it off 100% of their money and 98% of yours, which is a travesty. So that's what we got to teach. We got to teach them about economics. We got to teach them about unity because in numbers, their strength. If we play the number game, we're going to beat them all. You know what I'm saying? That's why we say he got the shirt on. That's one of our shirts. Our culture, our call. That's what we're talking about. Hip-hop fraternity is our culture, our call. This was created in the Bronx, in New York. You know what I'm saying? This is most of the music, you know, jazz, you go back to John Coltrane, you go back to Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, right. All that, they created that. You know what I mean? We created hip-hop. It just so happened hip-hop was the one that popped. You know what I mean? So it's a billion-dollar industry. You got to remember, look at me. I'm in corporate America. Mm-hmm. I deal with these people every day. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the conversation. The conversation is, hey, can you go get that guy Boosie? Can you go get Travis Scott? Can you go get that? So all the artists out there that's listening, I got the bag. I got all the right. bag. I can literally get you millions of dollars. Literally. It used to be the music industry. They want our culture. I'm telling you, they want us. They want us. They didn't ask me about Bruno Mars, Travis Scott. We didn't sit propose over there, a little baby, you know, for a book deal, you know. I mean, I just sent plenty of dudes. We talked to Travis Scott people. They offer $1 million for Travis Scott. You know, we talked to his people. He was on the phone. We just couldn't get the deal done. But I can get people millions and millions of dollars. You know, I am the dude with the bag, literally. You know, I am an official literary agent.
Bag
you know
holder,
I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
so
bag holder,
so,
right.
So how do they do it? Like, if a nigga wanted to do a book, what'd he do? He just goddamn, well, first, he just talk it, and then they got somebody that's gonna write it for him?
No, what happens is like, okay, I use Boosie, because Boosie be the best example. Everybody know Boosie. So Boosie, I contact Boosie. Boosie, I want to do a book deal with you. Now Boosie have to agree. Once Boosie agree, then we go and we look at his social media, you know, how many impressions he have, how many followers he have. Yeah. And then once they see he in the $1 million category, they can figure out that just through his marketing promotion that they can get a certain amount of money. So when they look at that, that's how they assess the value of the book. Like Boosie may be worth $500,000. You know what I'm saying? Because he can, to make $500,000 in the book game, you only need to sell probably, you know, about 25,000 books. So you double that, that's $1 million. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
$50, you know what I'm saying? $50 a book. Like Gucci Mane, he's with the same company. Rick Ross, all of them with Simon & Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a dude that a rapper could call, their manager could call me, and I can go and I can walk them in there and get them a big bag. And how it worked, back to what Banks was talking about, is you don't have to know how to read, you ain't got to know how to write, all you got to do is know how to speak. If you can speak, I'll find your author. I get your co-author.
What would you do? Get somebody to transcribe it?
No, we get a co-author. The author sit down with him, and generally the author get 50% because he's actually the guy that's doing
like
all
the
work.
Like a producer.
Yeah, he's doing all the work. And you can negotiate, you know, what you want your advance to be. Like most artists, I try to tell them, you don't want $1 million. Because if you want $1 million, that means if you sell only $1 million of a book, you have a good breakout. But you know it's not going to look successful. So if you take $100,000 or $200,000 and you sell $1 million, you done made $800,000 for the company. Now we can negotiate your second book already. You know, and plus, if you make that, then your royalties is going to be more too. Because whatever you take, they're going to take it against your royalties. Mm-hmm. So if you get $500,000, you got to get that $500,000. You got to recoup that before you actually see any value.
Yeah.
So the less,
like the rap game.
Yeah. It's better than the rap game, because if you did take the $1 million, if you just, you know, a hustler and you want to take it, then what we do, we negotiate, we get you $1 million, then you can run and don't never have to pay the book. You do the book, you never got to pay it back because with the publishing company, ironically, you don't have to pay the advance back. That's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with the record label, the record label is like a bank.
That comes off top.
Yeah, but a publishing company is a gambler.
And taxes.
You know, so you look at a record company like U.S. Bank. You look at a publishing company like Caesars or MGM Grand. They gamble on you. And if you don't recoup the $1 million back, they say, okay, it didn't go good. Mm. But you know, that's basically
they suck it up pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
So some of the best, this is a conclusion game you gave earlier, is if you're not humble, you crumble. You gave a lot of good game through this interview, but what's the most valuable vitamin you would say to people watching, namely young people in the streets? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's a vitamin that you would give them in closing from Pimpin' Ken?
Hey, man, all I can tell the young people out here, man, where there's the least appearance of evil, expect the greatest amount of danger. Who can ever do you good can also do you harm. You know, watch the hook. That's why I say watch the hook. And never discriminate who you trust or you distrust. Investigate everybody. investigate everybody, because people, they come in your face, they'll be smiling in your face, but really what they do, they start at your feet and they end up at your throat. You know what I'm saying? They end up taking you out.
That's deep.
You know what I mean? So you got to be very, 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 very selective about the people that you deal with.
That's deep, damn.
And you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay to let people go. You know, I use the analogy, if I had a 10 pound book pack on my back, if I had a 20 pound book pack on my back, and I walk around with that book pack for 20 years, you know, basically what I'm carrying dead weight. But once I take that book pack out, I feel like Muhammad Ali. I can float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So you want to get rid of the dead weight of your life. And if anybody can leave you, let them go. That means that if they leave me, they ain't a part of my destiny.
Mm. Facts.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of people, let me give y'all one analogy that's going to help y'all young people a lot. An eagle is one of the most brilliant species on the planet. You know, eagle wings spread about 9 feet. Eagle, they don't even fly, they soar. You know, eagles, you know, they can spot their prey miles and miles away. You see what I'm saying? Eagle don't even mess with other birds. If an eagle see a pigeon, it fly, because that means he's flying too low. You know, you never see an eagle and a chicken hanging out. You know, I ain't got nothing against chicken. I ate one today. You know what I'm saying? I ain't tripping on the chicken. But the reason why is because when eagles make love, they make love in the air, right? But the biggest mistake, as brilliant as the eagle is, the biggest mistake that the eagle always make is when he get with a weasel. When the eagle get a weasel, he zoomed down, he grabbed the weasel, and what the weasel does, he bite into his chest. And the eagle is so desperate to eat the weasel that he don't realize that as the weasel is biting in his chest, he's actually eating his heart off. Mm. So after a certain while, you see an eagle flying with a weasel. After a while, you see it descend to his death. So you know what I'm saying? You got to be able to let people go, because some people can be your downfall. And you got to let people go. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you got partners out there, they selling drugs, they out there killing, and they doing crazy stuff, you got to let them go. Because they ain't nothing but weasels. They eventually going to take you down. Because you name me one dude, you know what I'm saying, me, that sold dope forever, 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 and then end up, you know, going to penitentiary if he stayed down.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's simple. 3 years out, 30 years in. You get the ball for 3 years, and then they come and hit you with the ultimate indictment. So, you know, that's one thing we got to do. We got to make sure that we very discreet in our friends. We got to pick our friends wisely. We also got to remember that, you know, you got to be persistent, you know, and you can't never quit. You know, even when things look like it ain't about to happen, you know, you got to keep on going. I think it was Nipsey Hussle that said it best, you know, life is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, man, listen, man, you know, we've been working with this hip-hop fraternity for a minute. You know, we'd had a lot of people leave. We had a lot of people leave, and everybody be like, why did they leave? I said, let them go. If they leave, they ain't a part of our destiny. I know you had people that y'all had people work with for y'all. You don't know what happened to them. They gone.
Mm-hmm.
That means they wasn't part of the destiny.
True.
You know, but you got to let them go. You know what I mean? And when people, you know, I got a degree in goodbye. Matter of fact, the word good is in goodbye. The word good is in goodbye. You know what I'm saying? It's good to say goodbye.
It's good, you know, to say bye.
Somebody said it's so hard to say goodbye. I said it's good to say goodbye because the word good is in goodbye.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
So. We appreciate your time in the game. Give everybody the website and the Instagram again for Hip Hop Fraternity.
You can go to thehiphopfraternity.com. That's the website. My Instagram is REALPIMP Ken. On Instagram, same thing on Snapchat. Anything else?
That's it. Monday Network.
Oh yeah, Monday Network. We meet every Monday at North Cross, and we got we bring a lot of artists. We got Mystical tomorrow. Yep. We had the Young Bloods. We just got rid of Your Guy that we did him. We did Trillville. So you know what we doing? We giving our artists an experience that they'll never forget. We allowing them to hobnob and mingle with people that are, you know, already in the industry. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's basically what we're doing. And you know, like I said, man, go to thehiphopfraternity.com. You know, all artists is free. We feed you free. The food is free. You get to perform for free. And you get in for free. You know, all this come out of my pocket. You know, I spend this money every week out of my pocket because I got a passion to help the young people.
That's what's up.
And people always ask me, what's my game? I always tell them, no game. We don't run no game.
Hey, you the game.
Yeah, we don't run no game.
Play or get played.
So people come here and they be looking for the motive.
Yeah, that was catchy.
Motive. We ain't got no motive.
Oh, man.
It ain't no motive. Like, nigga, I'm there. I'm. It's real.
We appreciate y'all time. We appreciate the positive energy, Pippa Ken. Make sure y'all tap into the hip hop fraternity, www.bigfactspod.com. Salute.
You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all way up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That merch in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah. With the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
Bigfactspod.com.
Let's get it.
Get that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat merch.
It's going down.
Visit the new website today. www.bigfactspod.com. Visit now.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
When George Floyd got killed, I started reading a book called The History of the United States. And that's when I saw that Christopher Columbus was just as racist as Hitler. And I didn't know. Maybe you didn't either. Here we are, season three of I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either. In season three, we connect the dots from the enslavement periods to things happening today. Binge season three of I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either on the Black Effect Podcast Network, the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.